Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I'm your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I'm a medicine man, and my chosen modality is the written and spoken word. My medicine bundle is open. I've lit the incense and offered it to the four directions. I invite you to sit with me in sacred ceremony. If you are an agent of the government, you are, of course, welcome to listen, but bear in mind that the words and actions of the medicine man in ceremony are protected under federal and international law. You can join the conversation by tweeting me at Mudtoe Sasquatch, MudToeSasquatch, or by email at MudToeSasquatch@gmail.com. And now, Mudtoe at Midnight. Hiya, folks. And if you are an agent of the government, I have to warn you, I talk a lot about sports. So, don't get bored. Hi, this is Mud Toe Sasquatch. This is my radio program, Mud Toe at Midnight. Thank you for joining me this evening. Had a good night. So, well, before I get to that, let me just announce that you heard my little opening there. That's going to be the last time I run that opening because I'm going to record a new one next week. I successfully downloaded Audacity, and I'm starting to kind of figure out how it works. So I have another week to get another one together, and I've said I'm just going to throw the gauntlet down to myself by announcing that the old opening is kaput, so that will therefore force me, he said, to make a new one sometime before next week. So say goodbye to the old Don't be too sad, because I'm quite sure that the new opening is going to be quite similar to the old one. Really, the only thing I need to change is that is the part where I say I have a Twitter account, which I don't have anymore. All the other information is still the same. I think we want to add some stuff about within sites, so forth. That may all go into the open as well, or that may make the open too long. I'm not sure. I'm going to have to play with it a little bit. But anyway, there's that announcement. Let's see. What else do I want to speak about before I start? I don't think there's anything. I'll think of it when I'm in the middle of the next thing. This evening, I was very pleased to spend some time in the company of my daughter and my granddaughter. Always nice to do that, just because my granddaughter is my teacher. She is totally in touch with herself. I'm not sure that that's really accurate. She doesn't have any, I know she doesn't have any preconceived notions about anything. I think she may be developing one or two now. She's 2.5 years old. But why I admire her so much is that she has some struggles with physical challenges. And I think that as a 2.5 year old, and even as a one-year-old, she met them with much more courage and conviction than I would have probably at 48 years old. So I feel that there's something to learn there. So I make sure to spend time with her whenever I can. And today we shared some what do I call them? We had these things when I was a kid called bugles, which were sort of corn chips but wrapped into a cone shape. Wasn't exactly that, but it was something like that. And she brought some over, and I asked her if I could have one, and she gave me one. So there's negotiating skills being developed there on my part. And then she told me a story, which is rather remarkable because she doesn't speak too terribly much, and she didn't speak at all when telling me the story. But there was a coffee cup sitting on the table, on this little play table where she plays. And she picks up this coffee cup, and she lifts it up to her mouth, and she's clearly pretending that she's drinking out of the coffee cup. There's nothing in the coffee cup. She's not really drinking. She's pretending to drink out of the coffee cup. And she tips her head back, you know, way back, like she's emptying out the coffee cup. And then she puts it down. And she rubs her hands together, and that's an American Sign Language sign for all done. So that was her story. This is her thing, telling about drinking whatever it was that she was imagining was in that coffee cup. And doing it for us. I mean, her mother and I were both watching, and so she was performing this story for us. And I feel very grateful, very, you know, this sounds, it's, when you say, Mudtail, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, you know, a little girl, we didn't know if she would ever walk. We didn't know if she would ever talk. We didn't know if she wasn't going to need, you know, care for the rest of her life. And now, you know, to see her walking around on her own, and to see her and to see her communicate in this way, to come up with a thought that she wanted to express to us, and then to figure out a way to do it, even though she doesn't know, you know, what the words are. It tells a story about drinking coffee or whatever it was that she was that she was imagining there. It just feels like it almost feels like a message that that she's telling us in some way that she's okay, that things are going to be okay. Or maybe I'm imagining things. I don't know. What am I imagining things? Tell me. You can get in touch with me and tell me that I'm imagining things. What a segue this was. This is. By you can. What can you do? Well, you can get in touch with me on my Facebook page. That's Mudtail Sasquatch. You can like me there, and then you get links to all of the various things that I do. You can also send me an email on the mudtailsasquatch@gmail.com. And let's see, I don't have the chat room open, so don't worry about that. You could get in touch with me on my Facebook page or my Gmail, which I have both of those open now. So if you were to send me some, if you were to post on that Facebook page or to send me an email, I would see that and be able to respond to you in some way. Also, you know, I don't have this open, now I could open it. My website is mudtailsasquatch.com, and that's where I put samples of my writing. Maybe it will open here, or maybe it won't. Here we go. And you can comment on samples of the writing as you read them and want to perhaps comment on them. Actually, this, I should have waited to do this before, because I'm going to talk about the thing that I posted today. But I'll talk about it now anyway. If you post a comment on my website, the website is moderated. It is moderated by me. I will pass on your comment, even if you do not agree with me or even if you have criticism of me. That's all fine. I'm good with all of that. I will pass your comment along. I'll let other people see it. What I won't pass along is spam. What I will not pass along is just asinine comments, you know, racist things or anything along those lines. Those things, they will not, cruel things, hateful things will not be passed along. Constructive criticism will certainly be passed along. Even I don't like this, certainly pass that along too. That you're right. So, and please do make some reference in your post that will, so I'll know that you're not a bot. You know, I get almost everything that I see as posts on there comes from some sort of automated system. So I just need to show me that you read the piece, or so just reference it in some way so I know that you're an actual person. Okay, so let me jump to this blog entry I wrote today, because today is December 7th, and we all know that December 7th is a date that has and will live in infamy. We don't all know that. I'd say Americans probably know that, and there may be a few of you listening who are not Americans, maybe a lot of you listening who are not Americans, so let me go ahead and go through it. December 7th, 1941 was the day that the American Navy base in Pearl Harbor in Hawaii was attacked by the Japanese Navy, actually planes flying from the Japanese Navy, and did a lot of damage. A lot of sailors died, a lot of civilians died, and it precipitated the United States' entry into World War II. And that date here in the States is met with a lot of remembrances, a lot of ceremonies. I would say it's probably second only to 9/11 in the level of remembrance. Memorial Day has to be up there. But I don't know. I don't think Memorial Day is as intense anymore as Pearl Harbor Day is. I could be wrong about that. D-Day, the day of the invasion of Europe in World War II, is up there as well. But I think I think Pearl Harbor has to be a solid number two on the list. Maybe three. Maybe you put Memorial Day in front of Pearl Harbor Day, or maybe you put D-Day in front of Pearl Harbor Day. I don't know. I wasn't there for any of it, so I really can't judge which of the events in the moment was the most intense or felt the most important. I would think Pearl Harbor just because it was an attack on us, whereas on D-Day we were the actors. We were going after, certainly a lot of people died, but there was we were the ones charging in, as opposed to being charged in upon. And then, of course, there was the whole surprise thing, although I'm not... It was a surprise attack, a sneak attack by the Japanese. And I'm not at all certain why the American government should have been surprised by this, because there had been some one-upmanship going on between the American Empire and the Japanese Empire for some time. And the action was one from the side of the Japanese... the Japanese military, the Japanese Empire, of saying, look, the Americans are trying to horn in on our shit, and we need to do something about it. Now, that's not at all to condone what the Japanese military did. It was a brutal action. It was an unnecessary action. It was an unjustified action, and it's ultimately self-defeating, because it, again, as I said, drew the United States into the war when... I don't think, again, I wasn't there. I've only read things that have been written after the fact. But there was not a lot of sentiment in the States at that time for us to get into the war. In fact, there was a lot of keep us out of the war, and among politicians, keep us out of the war. I saw, here's my primary resource, you're going to love this. I read a reprint of Action Comics number one, the first Superman story. And the first villain that Superman was up against was trying to get the United States mixed up in World War II. Well, it wasn't World War II yet. It was just the stuff that was going on in Europe. So that was the first, very first thing. Well, what's the first villain we can have for this new superhero? You know, could it be a bank robber? Could it be a kidnapper? Someone poisoning products? I think the best thing to do would be have somebody who's trying to get us involved in this war over in Europe. So I think, and you know, comics in that way, I think, reflect what people, I mean, it's, they're trying to be sold to people, obviously. So I think in many ways they're going to reflect the attitude. This is an argument I've heard before, and I happen to agree with it, that you get a far better gauge on the mood of a time from popular fiction than you do from formal fiction or from official documentation. It's the informal stuff, the street stuff. You'd be in television and internet now. You'd be in radio and comic books back in the 30s. So I think you get a better idea of how people felt about things from reading a comic book from the 30s than you would from reading probably a newspaper from the 30s. Because newspapers were quite a bit different. But they did news back then. There was news in newspapers back at that time. So, I wrote this piece, and I was very nervous about writing it because I have a number of friends who are very, what's the word I want to use? I love these people. I love my friends. And I just, there are a lot of things, all of my friends, each and every one of my friends has something that they enter into that I just cannot enter into. And one of the things that's very difficult for me to enter into is this hyper-patriotism that comes out at times like 9/11 Day, Pearl Harbor Day, Memorial Day. I mean, I respect the word is sacrifice. I don't think of it – sacrifice, I think, is a bad word to use, an inaccurate word to use, just because I think sacrifice means somebody was asked to do something. I don't think these people were asked to do anything other than stand where a bomb was going to fall. And weren't adequately warned that was going to happen. Who knew? I mean, they didn't tell anybody who was that there was any possibility that something bad was going to happen there, and something very bad did happen there. But I mean, the fact that they were killed, I don't disrespect the people who were killed. That's the first criticism that's always leveled. You know, how dare you disrespect those people who died on December 7th, died on 9/11, died on June the 6th in Europe? I do not disrespect those people. They were in a place and in a time and did a thing that I could never have done. I would have run like hell. I would have hid. I'm not gonna lie to you. You couldn't drag me into a war zone. But they did. They had a courage that I do not possess, and I respect that. That doesn't mean I can't believe that they were badly used. I think the Navy personnel in Pearl Harbor were badly used. I think the personnel in D-Day were badly used. That there was no need for that. The goal could have been achieved in other ways that didn't involve thousands and then millions of people being wiped out. And then the next logical step is the atomic bombings, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. You know, a massive surprise strike after, you know, after this whole vilification of the Japanese for being, you know, monsters, animals. For the bombing of Pearl Harbor, 4 years later, we turn around and kill far, far more people than they did in our own, in a pair of surprise attacks. At least in Pearl Harbor, you had a chance to run and hide. In Hiroshima and Nagasaki, there was no such chance. But we're justified. I guess the justification I hear is that it was war. War had been declared at that time, whereas in Pearl Harbor. So if we had been at war with Japan before December 7th, then you would have been okay with the bombing. It's fair play. Everything's fair game if you're actually at war. It seems to have more to do with who's dropping the bombs. If it's your guy dropping the bombs or somebody else's guy dropping the bombs, that's what determines whether it's fair play or not. But see, these are things, this is what frustrates me, and this is why I wrote the piece, and this is why I expected to get some crap over it, was this belief that you can't discuss things like that, especially on the holy day. You know, I can't, because somehow that's disrespecting the people who died. And I could not disagree more, and I think that's, the specter of Pearl Harbor has been used for years as that kind of a mask. You know, we don't question it because remember, okay, Pearl Harbor, 9/11 is the new Pearl Harbor. So you don't. So just as we didn't question what the government did after Pearl Harbor, you know, do not question what the government does after 9/11, or you must be an enemy. And you know, we have our own sort of. We talk about after Pearl Harbor, then we had the atomic bombing. Pearl Harbor, not okay. Atomic bombing, okay. 9/11, not okay. Drone attacks in Pakistan, okay. And I just, that duplicity, that doublethink, as George Orwell would have called it, I can't wrap my head around it. I think what's most distressing to me is that so many people can wrap their heads around it and blame me for my discomfort. So I felt I needed to write about that, and I, as usual, I don't think I really captured it very well. It looks like a rant about Pearl Harbor, but really it's about my discomfort with seeing these things pop up from my friends about remember December 7th, keep the memory alive. I have no objection to keeping the memory alive if there's a useful purpose to keeping it alive. What is the useful purpose of keeping it alive? Is it you'll fear all enemies? Fear people who look different? Is that why we keep memory alive? Our relevance is fading. Is that why we keep memory alive? I'm going to take a jump way down the scale in importance. A few years back, you know, there's the Miami Dolphins football team is, you know, had their undefeated year, and then the Patriots, the New England Patriots, almost got to an undefeated year, and the old Dolphins were coming back and saying, "Oh, those guys aren't as good as us. We're much better than them." It's like, don't take away our relevance. Keep the memory alive. keep the memory of our undefeated season alive. We can't. We're nothing without it. We'll just disappear. We're in a puff of smoke. Well, that was an interesting segue, wasn't it? Speaking of sports, actually, let's not speak of sports. Let's stick with the blog, because I didn't talk about Tuesday's blog entry. And for those of you who haven't listened before, there are new blog entries on Tuesdays and Fridays, and that's on mudtoesasquatch.com again. Friday was the one about December the 7th. That was today, earlier today. Tuesday, I put up another excerpt of Tale of White Horse, Tale, T-A-L-E, the story of White Horse, which is a novel that I'm working on. And I need to be really careful, because I don't want to end up with the whole novel on my blog. It seems like every time I write a new piece, I post it on my blog. I need to write more of it and only post a little bit of it on the blog. Of course, all the entries are going to be out of order, but a clever person probably could go through and string them all together and get some fair idea of what's going on in the book. This one was just a discussion of kind of where we're going with feminist themes in the book. I really didn't originally intend that the book was going to have feminist themes, but it does. It's just something that happened. I don't know that I can explain. It's just something that came out in the process of writing. Another thing, and I posted this on my website that I run under my birth name, that I was writing a nice little scene. I'd taken a break from White Horse. I was writing something else, and I was writing a nice little scene between a husband and wife talking about what they wanted for Christmas, and they ended up in an argument. And it's just, I don't know, I was writing it, and it happened. I just was describing what was going on in my head. So whereas when this whole story started, White Horse was someone who was kind of pulled along by the events that were happening around her, I became dissatisfied with that. I didn't think that was a very good story to tell. But, well, what could be, what is she after? What is the change that she is trying to affect? And I came up with this idea of, in their society, this primitive native society, prehistoric native society in North America at some distant past, was that women were property. And I'm not certain that that's true, probably not for all prehistoric Native American societies. But for purposes of my story, I've sort of laid that onto my society, because it could be explained as a very localized event. There's very specific reasons why females are not valued as human beings or considered to be property. And so it may only have applied to this one specific splinter group of people who are fleeing from an enemy that they had down in the southern continent. But my point in all this sort of wandering narrative is that the story is, as I realize deficiencies that are in the story, and deficiencies are defined as, is this a story that I would want to read? What is this? Where is this going? Is this something that would interest me as a reader picking it up and not knowing the story as I started? And this thing of just things happening all the time around White Horse, that didn't seem particularly, it did not seem awesome to me. But White Horse being something of a crusader for the rights of half of her people who were being oppressed, that seemed a little bit more interesting, and it aligned more with my own sensibilities. Now, that gives me a problem, because I'm writing about a feminist struggle, but I'm not a woman. I realize I don't have to be a woman to be a feminist or to have feminist sensibilities, but I think it is difficult for me to write about a woman's struggle is not the word that I want. About a process of realization on White Horse's part, and then what should be done, and then a realization of what she might be able to do to make it happen, and then have her face and overcome obstacles in that path of action. I'm not sure that I as a male am equipped to tell that story. Do I have permission to tell that story? Permission is not the right word. Do I have the right to tell that short story? Do I have the right to go there? And I guess I'm going to discover more and more about that as I write more and more and show it to other people and have them tell me what they think and how it might be improved. So please, there's going to be a lot of it coming up on the blog. I don't want it to become what the blog is every day, but like maybe every other day. Like it'll either be Tuesday or Friday, and then if it's whatever day it is, the other one will be a blog on something else. Okay, so we got through that. The other thing that's bothering me today, everything's always bothering me. Well, I just do the thing about getting happy. What's the song? Da-da-da-da, come on, get happy. See, I don't know the da-da-da-da. See, that's it. That's why I can't get happy. I don't know what the thing is. I got to find it. I could research it. I could Google it and find out what the... come on, get home. I don't want to do that. I was about to turn off Blog Talk. I'm Googling, come on, get happy. Maybe. My computer is so slow. It's just a tiny little netbook, and it's 2 years old. So it was slow, and now it's really slow. Maybe, come on, get happy. Well, the Partridge Family theme, come on. No, that's not what I wanted. We had a dream, we go traveling together. No, that's not what I want. Da-da-da-da, come, you know what I'm thinking of. Happy is a song. The song lyrics and cover the phrase, come on, get happy. Okay, so now we're going to Wikipedia. And it needs an additional citations for clarifications. Oh, way to go. No lyrics. Wikipedia, loving that. Happy, influenced by the Get Happy tradition, is most closely associated with Judy Garland, who performed it in her last MGM film, Summer Stock, 1950. Uh-oh. I don't know if y'all can hear me. I'm getting a no microphone detected warning on Skype. I'll just continue here. Look what we got here. Since I'm still running, I'm sorry if you're listening to this. You're either listening to this and not hearing me at all, or you're listening to me just kind of staring at my computer trying to figure out what it's trying to tell me. I just got a warning from Skype that my microphone wasn't detected. So I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that you're still hearing me. I only have a moment left anyway. But I was going to talk about the amount of money that's going into pro sports and the arena being built in Detroit for $650 million of taxpayers' money. But I don't have any time to do that, and you might not be hearing me anyway. So I think I'm just going to go ahead and wrap it up a little bit early tonight. I just got my 90-second warning anyway. Thank you for listening. I will be back next week with a lot of interesting stuff. Again, please email me or Facebook me if you have any ideas about something I could talk about or any questions I can answer for you. I'm very happy to do that. One more time, thank you, and have a pleasant evening.